Hello. As was mentioned this morning, the Cozarts are home with a stomach virus, and one more fell. Only Josiah stands. The parents are not feeling the best either, so let's continue to remember them in your prayers. And so Phil presented the lesson this morning. I'm presenting the lesson tonight, so you should be filled up by the end of the night. So, tonight's lesson is one that I gave, I think, about 5 years ago or something like that. And when I told Christy I'm presenting it, she said, "You aren't going to present it, say the very same things, are you?" And I said, "Well, nobody's going to remember 5 years ago." And I said, "It's going to be probably different because I'll probably forget some of the things that I said 5 years ago." So, in any case, this lesson concerns Paul and the congregation in Philippi. And we know as Paul wrote the book of Philippi, he was in prison in Rome. And we find this out in Philippians 1, verses 12 through 13, which says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard that, and to everyone else, that I am in chains for Christ." You know, Paul at this time had gone through a lot of things up to this point in his life. And a lot of struggles, a lot of hard times. And he, you know, at this time, he could have felt, you know, pity for himself, or maybe he could have complained, but he didn't do that. Instead, he spent his time encouraging others. When we look at Philippians 4:4, there he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Now, you and I may not be physically bound with these chains, but I guarantee you all of us, in one sense or another, are going to be undergoing trials, undergo the tribulations of life. For example, we might have failing health or some kind of medical condition. We might have stresses with our job, struggles with finances, struggles with our spiritual life. And even for those that have children, times at home when your kids would sometimes break your heart. So we all have these chains, and it all depends on how we react to those chains, how we deal with those chains. It's whether we're going to be leading a life pleasing to God. Now, how could Paul be happy in chains in prison? How could we be happy in our chains? And that's the purpose of the lesson tonight. So we're going to find most of the lesson I'm going to be giving is coming from Philippians verses chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And it's going to have 3 points. Paul was able to be happy in chains because when he looked at his past, He did so with a thanksgiving to God. Paul, at this point in time, had probably been associated with the congregation at Philippi for about 10 years. And he only had fond memories of this congregation. It was probably his favorite congregation that he'd ever established. We find in Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4, "I thank my God every time I think of you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." You know, Paul looked for the good in all things. Even though he had suffered mistreatment at Philippi, if you remember, back when he first came to Philippi to spread the gospel, we find this in 1 Thessalonians 2:2. It said, "We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition." So he and Silas were not well accepted in Philippi when he first came there. And he's more or less turned away when he tried to spread the gospel. And, you know, perhaps when he looked back on the unpleasant things that happened at this point in time and other things that happened in his life, he did see the good that resulted from his effort. And we find in Romans 8:28, Phil used this in his lesson this morning, which says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." We also find that in Philippi, Paul and Silas were wrongfully imprisoned. And we find this story in Acts 16, verses 16 through 34. And if you remember, this is about the Philippian jailer. It ended up in the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his whole household to Christ. At first, let's look at verses 16 through 21 of chapter 16 of Acts. Now, just to paraphrase these few verses, we know that Paul and Silas had encountered the slave girl that could tell people's fortunes. And if you remember, Paul kind of got fed up with her and drove the spirit out of her so that she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. And this didn't make the owners of the slave girl very happy because they were making big bucks off of her and her telling ability to tell fortunes. So elders made false charges against Paul and Silas. Now let's pick it up in verse 22. "The crowd joined in the attack on Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and a jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in an inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We are all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" "They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately, he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family." So again, we can look at this story, and this is one of those things that Paul can remember from his past. One of the very good things that happened. And of course, after this, Paul and Silas left Philippi and went on to spread the gospel in other areas. But the thing we find so often is that Paul's pleasant memories were always focused, or seemed to always be focused, on the Christians at Philippi. Now we know that the Christians in Philippi supported his work. We find this in Philippians 1, 4, and 5, which says, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Now, we know that they supported Paul's work in various ways. They, of course, prayed for him. Find us in Philippians 1, 19. We know they financially supported him in Philippians 4, 15, and 16. So Paul could be happy with the chains he had to wear simply because of the past and the thanksgiving he had to God. Now, you and I with our chains can concentrate on the bad things in our lives, or we can concentrate on those good things, those things that we remember and give thanks to the Lord and thank Him and be happy. And one thing about happiness, that's a choice we all can make. And hopefully we won't dwell on the bad things in our past and let those pull us down, but dwell on the happy things that's happened in our past to keep us uplifted. Point number two. How could Paul be happy with chains? Because he looked at the present with confidence. As Paul thought about the Christians in Philippi, he was flooded with emotions, and one of those was love. We find this in Philippians 1, verses 7 and 8, where he says, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Christ Jesus." So we find in these verses that Paul longed for them with all his heart. He wanted to be there with them as much as he could. And Paul loved them with a love that characterized Jesus. And as Paul remembered his brothers and sisters in Philippi in Christ, he was also filled with confidence. And we find this in Philippians 1:6, where he says, "Being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So again, Paul was happy in his chains because in the present because he had confidence in God. And he was not self-confident. I guess you could call this, he was God-confident. Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So this was a congregation that whether Paul was there when he first established it, he knew it was going to be a great congregation. That they remained faithful even when he wasn't there. Unlike some of the other congregations that he had established. Paul had seen great work done in the congregation of Philippi, and he knew he owed it all to God, all to Jesus. For every good thing that had been accomplished, he owed that to them. The confidence expressed by Paul was primarily because of who God was, who God is, and who God will always be. But his confidence was also built up by the Philippian Christians, who were the kind of people in whom God could work. And you know, God doesn't look for perfect people to try to work in. Because if he did that, he wouldn't be finding anybody. Rather, he is going to look for those who allow him to work in their lives, in their heart. How does God work in our lives? Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." God works in our lives through the different events, different things that happen in our lives. James 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." As Phil said this morning, it also develops character. We have to know how to handle the trials, the chains in our lives. Because if we can't handle them in a positive way, obviously God's not going to be happy with us. And also we know that God works in our lives through the people that we meet. And I'm sure that all of you have different individuals that have been in your life, whether it be family members, friends, or just members of the body of Christ, that have affected you, that have helped you in your Christian walk. And these people are so important in our lives. What qualities did the Philippian Christians have that allowed God to work in their lives? Well, one thing for sure we knew about the Philippian Christians, they never turned their back on Paul. They were always there for him when he's in prison, unlike some of the other Christians. And also, this congregation confirmed and defended the gospel whenever it was under attack. So whatever our challenges in life, we need to remember that if we are faithful children of God, we do not have to face those challenges alone. So we need to make sure that we pray. We need to make sure that we let God into our heart. And He will always be there for us and help us through any challenges we may face. Paul had confidence in his brethren. Paul had confidence in God. And we look at Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power, does that work within us." Point three. How could Paul be happy in chains? Simply because he looked at the future in prayer. Regarding what was ahead, he did not ignore the realities of life. He knew that the Philippians would still face challenges, as he would also. He knew that wasn't going to end. And so we find in Philippians 1:9-11, the office of prayer to God about the Philippian congregation. And it says, And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise to God. So Paul, in these three verses, prayed that they would grow in love, that they would grow and always look for the best in each other. Paul prayed that they would grow in knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Paul prayed that they would grow in ability to tell the difference between right and wrong. Paul prayed that they would grow in Christian character. Paul prayed that they would grow in living fruitful lives for God. To face the future, we all need to grow closer to God and glorify Him in all things. And without a doubt, we all know that prayer is so important to our Christian life. There is no better advice to those that are in chains than to take their eyes off Jesus and themselves. They should be taking their eyes off themselves and fasten them on to Jesus and God. And the one thing I always say in almost every one of my sermons or devotions or whatever, we need to always keep our focus on God, Jesus, and heaven for eternity. We can't lose that focus. We can't let the world take our focus off of them. So in conclusion, what will your reaction be to the change in your life? You have four choices. One, look at the past with misgivings or thanksgiving. Looking back on those things that were bad that happened in our lives, or looking to the good things that happened in our past in our lives. Two, look at the present with confidence, not with cowardice. Three, look to the future with apprehension, with prayer. And four, we can rely on our strength or rely on the strength of our Lord and Savior. Which choice will you make? This time we offer the invitation for those that haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior in baptism. The water is just the right temperature, I think, I hope. So if you need to come forward for that reason, please do so. Or for those Christians that need to come forward for prayers, for whatever reason, if you need to come forward, please do so as we sing the song of invitation.